Hello, and a very warm welcome to episode 20 of The Edge of Coaching. I'm usually your host, George Warren, but today is a very special episode as it will close out series one. And so the table is turned and the microphone is also turned. For hosting duties, I'm replaced by my good friend, Rob Lawrence. Rob is a podcast producer, content and audio strategist to leaders, coaches and mentors. He's also a coach himself. Rob and I first collaborated when I hosted two series of podcasts, The Association for Coaching. And as you'll hear in the episode, he asks beautiful and thoughtful questions and shares the passion and curiosity that I have about the future of coaching. As we close off this season, we'll hear some of my key learnings and reflections from hosting the podcast so far. Why The Edge of Coaching, where the ideas came from, how it all happened, and much, much more. And of course, I am delighted to finally share the image that speaks to me about the future of coaching as I see it. So, let's get into it.
So, George, welcome to your own podcast.
Thanks, Rob. It's an honour to be here and an honour to be sitting opposite you as the host today. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that, George. That's very kind of you. But the spotlight is on you today because I'm hoping that this episode will be an opportunity for your regular listeners and perhaps a new listener. This might be their first episode listening to the Edge of Coaching podcast. And this is an opportunity for all of those folks to get to know the host a little bit better and perhaps learn a little bit more about your philosophy, not just with your podcast, but with coaching more broadly. And I know as a close friend of yours, it's an evolving philosophy. So I'm hoping that this will also be a bit of a snapshot in time to learn more about your current thinking on where coaching is at. And also in the context of your podcasting journey, because as somebody who also wears both a podcasting and a coaching hat, I know that there's a very sort of symbiotic relationship between the two. And it's an interwoven relationship in the sense that one informs the other. And the more I talk about coaching on podcasts or listen to people talking about coaching on podcasts, the more my own sort of picture of coaching, if you like, evolves. And the more I coach, the more that informs perhaps the content I ought to be talking about or working with others like yourself, George, in terms of trying to extend that knowledge and extend the conversation to a broader base and nowadays a global community across the internet, to anybody with reasonable internet access being able to have access to these very deep and interesting conversations, most of which I've listened to on your series. So anyway, that's the frame I'm coming in with our conversation today from. I'd love to hear it from your point of view, George. I mean, obviously this podcast is an important piece of work, or it's a piece of work that's important to you in the context of your coaching today. Maybe you could give our listener a little bit of a sense of who you are and how you've arrived at this point in terms of why did you start coaching and perhaps why did you choose to start a podcast that supports your coaching, and just get a bit of a sense of perhaps maybe we can get a bit of a sense of who you are from that point of view.
Cool. Yeah. Very happy to share my my journey to the podcast. I think it was primarily sort of born from a deep, deep love and passion and belief I have in coaching and in people. And what I'm so happy and part of my joy and love and I guess evangelism for coaching is that it is one of the most human ways of helping people. So it is necessitated on some of those core human skills of listening, of curiosity, of humility, of challenging, of supporting, of believing that the resource, the know-how is somewhere within the person or people opposite you. So, you know, I can hand on heart say that the coach training I did, it oriented the direction of my life and career in such a beautiful way. And the journey ever since has been quite remarkable. And I hold both some amazing beliefs and also some concerns and doubts and cautions about the future of coaching. And you know, one of the cool things about coaching is that so many of the most inspiring thinkers and writers are still knocking around today. It's not as if I'm studying fine art where I can't chat with Michelangelo or Da Vinci or Raphael. So the podcast is an opportunity, as Viv Chitty mentioned quite recently, to capture some of the wisdom and learnings and challenges and different angles from some of the people who I think are doing some of the most interesting coaching. And I call it the edge of coaching because I think where coaching can often really shift and really help is often just when we take our clients a little bit to the edge of their comfort zone and maybe peek over the edge of their comfort zone. And I think a lot of coaches, a lot of new coaches, naturally are very, very good at supporting. And the stretch for them is around stretch and challenge and a bit of leaning into tension and doubt and not necessarily seeing eye to eye. And it was Professor Peter Hawkins who encouraged me before we recorded a podcast for the Association for Coaching a couple of years back. He invited us to both be at our learning edges. And it was a really fascinating, really edgy and really stimulating conversation to be part of. And so there is a legacy there in the name and in the sensibility of the conversations. And the other reason I do this is because I want to honor the fact that coaching, I believe coaching in the 1990s and in the 2000s, it seemed to move quite far away from its psychological roots, its roots in therapy, its roots in psychotherapy and counseling. And what I experience is a coming back, like a sort of prodigal son coming back, having left. And there seems a, you know, Miles Downey in the episode, he suggested that coaching is rather too nurturing at the moment. But I see I see coaching at the moment coming back to its more psychological roots. And why I called it the edge of coaching is to honor that it's really blurry, murky boundaries. It's not a clear cut, defined boundary for between coach and therapy. And these are blurry shades of gray. And it's for each coach to define their own boundaries between coaching and mentoring, coaching and managing, coaching and philosophy, coaching and politics, coaching and spirituality, coaching and therapy. And I wanted to create a series of conversations that honors that, those boundaries and that's that nuance and murkiness and individuality, Rob.
Yeah, that's fascinating, George. I'm hearing there that this edge of coaching is showing up in a number of different ways for you, in the sense that there's the edge of coaching, which is the leading edge, I suppose, the kind of, you know, the front of the train on the rails, so to speak, going into the new territory. But there's also the edge of coaching, almost jigsaw piece-like, as in, where does our coaching fit into our life? And where are those boundaries and those blurry lines that you're talking about? And also with that jigsaw image in my mind, what are the other pieces around the coaching which are unique and different for all of us? And I'm really interested as to sort of your jigsaw picture there in terms of how coaching fits into your broader life. And maybe this is an opportunity, this conversation today, to learn a bit more about George the person behind George the podcaster and George the coach. So based on that, I'm curious as to how you've changed as a person through coaching, and then perhaps as a sort of a subset of that thinking, how the podcast journey that you've been on relatively more recently, within that coaching journey, that bigger coaching journey for you, George, how that's changed you as a person, but also perhaps your coaching or your attitude towards coaching or your relationship to coaching?
I'm not being glib when I say that I really believe that a whole 20 episode season could be filled on me talking about how I've changed and grown and developed as a person due to being coached and learning about coaching and being a coach myself. It's a profound journey of self-understanding and self, I'm reluctant to say self-development, but self-growth. Or if we go a little bit more towards sort of Maslow, self-actualization, becoming the person who you think you can be. And I will rein in the amount of things I could say about what coaching has done for me, but it has made me a better human being, a better friend, a better leader when I was a leader in my previous career, a better listener, a better family member. And, you know, for example, I took a family holiday in Cornwall a couple of years back, and my niece, about 9 or 10, she said, thank you so much for being my coach there, because you didn't tell me what to do, but you helped me believe that I could do it. When she was going into a boat on a lake, and she was a bit nervous. And I doggedly believe in human potential, and I believe in everyone's potential. And coaching, I think done effectively and done from that mindset, can be incredibly, incredibly helpful. And I really believe it is one of those core skills that humanity will need more of with what's happening around our unfolding meta crisis. And I fundamentally believe that the work to be done for humanity is not just around a sense of techno-optimism, but is also its inner work. It's looking through our stuff, and it's just becoming more self-aware. It's doing the inner work around our choices, our beliefs, our own sort of psychological and emotional work. So I hold great ambitions for coaching and for people, Rob. The second element of that question was around what has changed in me as a coach owing to the conversations. And I think the thing that comes to my mind is I've had my views stretched so many times, and I've had my angles and my beliefs challenged. And I love that idea of not swallowing one concept or theory whole, not being the big fish that just comes to the bait and just swallows it and doesn't think about it and reflect and give it some critical thinking. So I've just been so grateful for all these fantastic guests to come in and tell me how they see things, how they do things, what their journeys have been like, and to receive counsel and wisdom around what the future may hold for coaching. So to be more specific, I've got a lot more comfortable holding things lightly, and I've really relished having my own views and assumptions and beliefs as a coach stress tested. And I've got a lot more comfortable sitting in nuance and uncertainty and murkiness, and there are just some brilliant piece of advice in every episode that we've recorded so far from every guest. And how I coach has deepened. I've got a lot more comfortable in who I am as a coach, Rob, a lot more comfortable sitting with the person opposite me in silence, in not knowing, in uncertainty, and creating that environment and facilitating that space where the person opposite me or people opposite me can think and feel and can go to the places that is helpful or needed to go to for them. So more confident and more confident not knowing and sitting with uncertainty would be the sort of bullet point headline to that answer.
Yeah, that's really insightful, George. And I'd love to sort of explore how you've had some very commendable guests in the coaching world on your short series so far. I mean, in 20 episodes, you've had some big names. I think most would agree in the coaching world featured on your podcast. And I've really enjoyed listening to the conversations on your podcast. And they've really challenged me as a coach and as a person, perhaps in some of the ways that you're describing there. So I'm hoping that your listeners are experiencing that too. And it's really interesting hearing some of the, well, a number of things, including some of the myths around coaching perhaps being dispelled, but also some of the things that, you know, coaching was known for now being challenged as well. I think that's been a theme that's been coming up for me listening to your series. I'd love to explore perhaps some of the highlights or perhaps some of the standout moments for you off the top of your mind in the podcast so far. But before I ask you that question, I want to ask you this question about the unfolding meta crisis that you mentioned there. And two thoughts or two questions I perhaps want to ask you about that. I mean, what do you believe is the meta crisis that we're facing at the moment? So there's that. And then secondly, how do you think coaching is going to help us to deal with that? Big questions, I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. So how I understand and articulate metacrisis is, let's look at climate change, for example. For most of my life at school, it was called climate change or global warming. It was sort of discussed and taught as something abstract and over there and related to degrees and, let's look at a picture of a polar bear. And it was very far away. And what that allowed me to do was feel, it's far away. It's not going to happen. It was, you know, like the people in my class and the school and the cultures and the neighborhood and if we just slow down and explore what's happening, well, it's inextricably linked to financial systems, to political systems, to inequality, to exploitation, to the fast fashion, to the way we travel, to how we eat and what we choose to do in our leisure time. So for me, metacrisis refers to the inextricably linked unfolding crises that are in a way making each other worse. So if we look at, for example, biodiversity loss or the topsoil erosion or the sea levels rising, they are all linked and they make each other worse the more they happen. So it honors that sort of messy systemic interconnectedness. And I haven't done a lot of work in this space. I'm settling on metacrisis to honor the bigness, the vastness, the scariness, the messiness, and the complicatedness of that topic. Your question was around what coaches or coaching can do. I've had some fantastic thinkers and some very different opinions on this. And I've always been keen to hear and respect and understand the different views of all the different guests without too much challenge or my stuff coming in. I think, going back to my earlier point, I think if we distill it down, coaching is a very, very human way of helping someone or something. And I can't shake the idea that coaches have, much like Liam Neeson, have a particular set of skills that do and will come in really handy with the political, economic, ecological, and social problems that we are facing, and at least in the short term, will continue to face. So, first of all, is the self-awareness, is the self-control, the if I quote the ICF competencies, is the develops and maintains the ability to regulate one's emotions. So embodies the coaching mindset is how the ICF term it. So we can do the stuff on ourselves to hold that space, that container, in if we want to call it that, so that the person opposite us can think and feel and unpack and become more aware. We also have access to leaders and decision makers and future leaders all across the globe. So the coaches have the skills to do the inner work on our stuff. We have the access and opportunity to work with and hold space for leaders all across the world, now and in the future. And we are, if anything, change agents. We deal in people and in change. That's our currency. We help people with change. So I respect the idea that we shouldn't overly force or manipulate or direct any conversation towards climate change, for example. But I think those three skills of a coach, they come with a responsibility. And a responsibility to make coaching, to make ourselves open and available for, hey, this is the work. By the way, if you want to have a chat about the future and how it looks and what's happening, you know, it's okay in this work that we do. I'm skilled enough. We can talk about the big stuff if you want, the existential stuff. And in all the conversations I've had, and in fact, alongside you on the production team, Rob, a whole series of conversations for the AC podcast, Coaching in the Climate Crisis, I still haven't shaken that idea that coaches can help and coaches have the skills to help, and we can provide helpful, exploratory, safe conversational spaces for the people opposite us to do the thinking, do the feeling, do the processing, do the planning, or take the action that they want to do, and they might need to do in what's happening.
I'm glad I asked those questions, because I think that has set me up quite nicely to ask you now the question about the guests that you've had on the podcast. And I mean, it would be unfair to pick a favorite. I wouldn't expect you to do that. But what I'd be curious to know is where George is today, perhaps. And I mean, literally today, because I'm sure if I asked you the same question tomorrow or even yesterday, if I could do that, you'd probably pick something differently. But I'm curious today where we're at this point in time, at this moment in time. You know, are there any particular moments that I'm sure there are many moments that have shaped you through the series that you've put together so far, but are there any particular moments that still, since they've been recorded, since you've had that conversation, or do you get a sense of how they may have pointed you on a different trajectory. So I guess what I'm asking here is there any particular conversation or conversations or themes or ideas that are still echoing around or reverberating around in your space right now, that as a result of having done this podcast so far and having had those guests or that guest on your podcast, has perhaps changed the trajectory of your coaching or even you as a person? It may be outside of coaching. What's got you thinking differently?
And thank you for the care with which you asked that question. And I will also caveat by saying I have valued every of the 19 conversations equally. And I have learnt very much and had sort of lightning bolts fizzing and popping every time, several times. This might be the recency bias, but I think it was episode 17 or 18 with Tabitha Jane. Her and I have had many conversations, and some of which have made their way into other podcasts. So this was the third podcast we'd recorded together. And we trust each other very deeply. And we just went deep very early on, and we hung out there for the whole conversation, and went to some really interesting and beautiful and profound places, and touching on spirituality, consciousness, earth, nature, and its relationship to coaching. So that model's working at depth beautifully. And it's a great testament of Tabitha's skill and experience in the coaching space that we hung out there so beautifully and profoundly and so spaciously. The other place my mind went to, Rob, was the conversation with Robin Showett. And I don't know what it is about him, but he has a way of speaking so truthfully and so simply that it felt so incisive. And for example, you know, he has a fantastic way of just simplifying things, distilling them down to three or four words. For example, ethics. The way he spoke about ethics coming from a place of love and the heart and not coming from a place of fear and constriction and rules, it just stretched my mind. And the link he made between spirituality and the systemic, so systemic coaching and spirituality, was one I'd never made myself. And how he offered it just took my mind to some very interesting places. So those are the two that were most front of mind for me, hearing your question, Rob.
Yeah, that's really insightful. And having heard those conversations, not all of them, but most of the conversations on your podcast, I appreciate that was quite a tough question. But I'm glad you've shared with us what's resonating with you today, because I appreciate, as I said earlier, that I think if I asked you this question at another time, perhaps on a different day, because of the day that you had, something else might be standing out there. And I think really it's for our listener to go and find what's in it for them, really, by listening to these conversations, because it's really interesting for me asking you that question and sort of hearing a little bit about your relationship to these conversations and how they've impacted you as a person. And I'm curious, in terms of the sort of trajectory that you're on with the podcast and perhaps with your coaching and where this is all going at the moment, how has the podcast more recently perhaps shaped your worldview in terms of what's going on? So I think the question I'm asking you here, George, following my own curiosity, is I imagine George as a person and as a coach before the podcast began had certain ideas about coaching and about life. And so this is it's a similar but slightly different, nuanced question, perhaps more about you. You were talking earlier about the sort of inner transformation. That's how I understood it. And you've mentioned just there your conversation with Robin about spirituality and that being, and there being a relationship between that and the systemic side of things. So I'm kind of curious as to, and if this may be a hard question to answer, but I'm just curious as to whether you've got a sense of perhaps the trajectory that you're on in terms of your worldview and how the podcast has more broadly affected that. So I guess this is perhaps building on what you've shared with us already today, George, going a little bit deeper and perhaps a little bit more what's going on the inside for George here in terms of what do you feel is happening at the moment? And how has the podcast and how have these conversations helped you to get a sense of that, whether you can make sense of that or not?
Mm. Well, it's a hell of a question, Rob, and I really appreciate,
yeah, appreciate
it.
That.
I think the podcasting journey so far has affirmed for me that I am on the right track. And what I mean by track is that whether coaching or not, sometimes people come into your life and they act as signposts or guides that help you find a way further along the path. And coaching, full stop, kind of did that for me. And that's why I basically quit my job and just started coaching from nothing. Couldn't give it away at the start. And I'm just going to do this and I'm going to carry on doing this. So what I feel incredibly grateful for is that this podcast has provided a regular opportunity for me to encounter those figures who have suggested or offered some sort of guidance or direction for me further along my own path. And sometimes if I've had my views totally stretched, I might go backwards or go around in loop-de-loops. And sometimes I'll encounter someone who is affirming. Yes, I remember listening to another conversation with Simon Kavikia, and I was cycling along a lakeside trail. I had to stop the bike because what he was speaking about was so true to my experience, so interesting for me that I couldn't safely cycle. And I thought that's really interesting and that's really cool. And I'm aware that this podcast and for some people in different stages of the coaching journey, what I'm doing and the work I'm doing is that sort of offering of this might be the way that you're going down, or have you thought about this route here? Or and even it might be recommending an article or a podcast to someone else. So there is something, I think coaching has a massive opportunity now and beyond. And I think the opportunity is for it to engage further with its conscience, to, in the words of Mary Beth O'Neill, to lead with its backbone and its heart, and for coaching to not collude with a particular mindset of how a lot of societies do business, of quite a mechanistic Cartesian, I think therefore I am, prioritizing the head and logic. I think coaching will continue to unfold into the murkier, the emotional, the spiritual, and will increasingly provide a place where people can think and feel at different levels and more deeply. And because coaching has helped me do that for myself, it's helped me connect with who I really am, my values, and it's and I know it does the same for thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people all around the world. So to answer again at a perhaps more practical level, it's helped confirm for my own journey that I'll increasingly continue down this path of studying more towards topics around psychotherapy, around embodiment. And there is, in season two, there are some similarly incredible guests who are going to be the same guides and waymarkers for me as well. And I'm personally, professionally, very excited about the psychosynthesis and the work of the psychosynthesis coaching limited. And I will probably train and study further, whether it's at a master's level or some sort of therapeutic training or just continued coaching CPD. So I feel a great energy and a great passion for those sorts of conversations that are helping coaching and coaches unfold and as an acorn grows into a tree. I think Steve March mentioned that metaphor. I think there is a great sense of coaching becoming what it can really be, and coaching helping others becoming what it can really be, and me becoming what I can really be as a coach and as a person.
Wow, that's a really insightful and revealing answer there, George. I love that. I can't help but have an image in my mind of, particularly with the tree, a sense of flourishing, I suppose. Also, yeah, I really did begin to get a sense of how this has affected you on the inside out, which is perhaps something we don't hear too much about when you're asking the questions to others on your podcast. And also just to sort of hear more about your perspective on coaching in terms of, the impact it is having and could have on the world ongoing, and no doubt your coaching and your coaching and your podcast about coaching will be having that effect, having some kind of ripple effect too, which we'll come back to. But that sort of neatly sets me up to ask you some questions perhaps about the future and looking forward here, actually, George, because I think that as you were revealing what's going on for you on the inside there, I noticed a natural shift also to sort of looking ahead. So not just sort of being present as to where you are today, but also where this is going and where you are going. And obviously your podcast series with that. So I'm kind of curious, I'll perhaps start here. You've kind of teased us a little bit about some of the future conversations that are going to be coming along on the podcast, but I'm curious at this stage to get a sense. I want to ask you about what the image you have in your mind. This is a question that you ask your other guests. What's the image that you have in your mind about the future of coaching? So maybe now is the right time to be asking you that question, because the question I'm really keen to ask you at this stage is, where do you see coaching going based on what you've picked up so far?
Cool. I'm a bit nervous to be asked this question. I'm really excited about it. And my favorite artist has always been Salvador Dali. And again, like a good podcast episode or a good coaching conversation, I have had my mind and my understanding stretched in really interesting ways experiencing his work. There is a particular piece of art called The Elephants, And it has this huge, vivid sunrise for me, sort of deep reds and oranges and yellows. And it has these two bizarre long-legged elephants walking towards each other. And it has two people in the very, very small people in the foreground on the ground there. And it's so for me, the future of coaching is bright. The future is vivid. And you know, as Hetty Einzig mentioned to me in a number of years ago in a podcast for the AC, she spoke of coaching perhaps being in its adolescence at the moment. It's just still finding its place and its connection to the wider world. And that it might be argued to be still as we tend to go through adolescence, thinking about itself and us and the self, and exploring its relationship to the wider world, the wider people and nature. And you know, that sentiment has still stayed with me, the idea that coaching is just still synthesizing its place in the wider world. And so for me, that is evoked by the sunrise. And then you've got these two surreal, bizarre, subconscious creatures. And I think that the future of coaching will lean more into the psychological and the more into the surreal and the illogical. And we're in an age where already AI and bots can coach pretty effectively at the GROW model. So that tells me that the future of coaching is not us doubling down on process. That tells me that the evolution of a coach in training, the evolution of coaching and coach training is to continually lean into what makes us human, our intuition, our humor, our silliness, our creativity, our spontaneity, our humanness is the key for coaching. And, you know, fittingly for me in that image, and I encourage everyone to look it up and get hold of a print because it is fantastic. For me, it is two people talking with that backdrop of the surreal, of the psychological, and of it's immersed in this beautiful perspective of nature.
Wow. Yeah, I'm familiar with the picture as you're describing it there, and it's really wonderful to hear your interpretation of that in the context of coaching and the relationship there. I can't imagine Salvador Dali had coaching on his mind as he was putting that together. But isn't it interesting how, you know, it's a very human trait to be able to interpret that and make those connections there, just as you have done, George. Actually, curiously, I was going to ask you a little bit about tech. I mean, you're not somebody that strikes me averse to using tech, but I appreciate that there's a strong narrative, particularly in the coaching world today, about how tech is changing the world, particularly with AI over the last year or so. We're here in 2024, and it's only really in the last year or so that I think AI has become more of a mainstream conversation. I don't mean just in coaching, but I mean in popular narrative, mainstream narrative, as well as in coaching. But certainly coaching is not immune to the technological changes that are going on in the world today. And as somebody who strikes me as pretty sort of savvy when it comes to using technology, George, I mean, you've mentioned a few things there that I believe make us quite unique and perhaps immune to technological advance, and technology is only going to allow us to do, let's hope, good things. But I'm curious as to your take on it, just briefly. I mean, we don't have to go deep into this, but I know it's a question you and I have had off air, lots of long personal conversations while simultaneously wandering through fields on the telephone about all sorts of things. But I don't think we've really had a conversation around technology. So I'm kind of curious, sort of live on air right now, if you like, on your podcast, just to get a sense from you as to what your views are on technology today and how that's affecting us as humans. And perhaps in coaching.
So there was, I think, maybe half a question left from from what you asked previously about something around the direction of that coaching's going, and as quite a visual learner and communicator, you know, my offer is this, that perhaps in how coaching was widely understood and communicated earlier on, it was like a stick person walking in sort of 2D, like one of those sort of Mario games from the 80s, where it's two-dimensional and it's moving forward, or left or right, I should say. And I think where we are now is going past 3D to 4D. So there was that phrase, everything, everywhere, all at once, from the film that won the Oscar a few years back. And I think coaching is going everywhere, all at once, in every different direction. So coaching and trauma, coaching with art, coaching with horses, coaching and clowning and humor, and it's just unfolding in every direction, and it's not for me to say which way you know, which way is better, which modality is better. Coaching is having its moment, at like a this is where my astrophysics listeners will correct me, but it feels like a star is exploding in every direction. And that's fantastic. And coaching will roll with the technological advances, I'm sure. The concern I have, which is, I think, probably been raised in some writing, if not in a conversation already, is that a couple of years ago, I reached out to a coaching conference and I said, I do a lot of talking and coaching around the climate crisis. Do you want me to come and do some work or say something or offer anything? And they said, no, we did climate change last year, so we're looking for something new this year. And for me, that is an example of the danger of shiny newness, and that those within the industry will experience what I call the magpie effect of what is the newest thing to get interested and excited about, and then I will follow that and read about that and take a course in that. I think that's fantastic. It's important, but played out again and again and again and again and again, my concern is that it constantly makes us coaches feel deficient and not good enough. So we're constantly having our not good enoughness reinforced. Oh, you should learn about this, and you should definitely learn about this and this and this. And all of these things are fascinating and important and real. My concern is that coaching might lean too far into tech and will lose sight of some of those core coaching skills of silence, of tell me more. It's so unsexy and so unglamorous, but they are the core coaching skills for a reason. And things like empathy, things like noticing how we're doing, and emotions, and some of those core human qualities. Let's have a look. I've got the competencies from the ICF to hand. Yeah, I mean, creates or allows space for silence, pause, or reflection. It's comfortable in space of not knowing. These are such fantastic foundational skills that I worry that if we get overly distracted by conversations around tech, that coaching will lose some of its effectiveness and potentially become abstracted from some of its ethics and its conscience as well, potentially. So, for example, social media is a great force of learning and good, and at the same time, it is a great source of harm and suffering, and all sorts of mental health problems as well. And I would hope that coaching doesn't blindly go down a route of leaning so far into technology that we become untethered from our humanity, from our ethics, from thoughtfulness, and from some of those foundational core principles of human and human in relation, in communication, in conversation, in connection.
Yeah. There's so many questions I could ask you, George, but I'm conscious of our time together. And there's a growing number of closing questions that I would like to ask you. But one's just snuck in, actually, just off the back of that. And it ties into your image earlier about the future of coaching. And if I haven't asked this in this way, I'm hoping that maybe we can or get a glimpse of what's going on inside your world, George, when I ask it perhaps this way. But why do you think coaching is important for the future? I'm thinking about, you know, you've got children, I've got children. I'm thinking about their generation and the following generations. Why do you think coaching's important?
Well, in the spirit of ships in the harbour rising together, let me first plug a really, really good podcast episode from Coaching Uncaged, the Animas School of Coaching. And they had a conversation between Yannick, the host, and Charmaine Roche. And she'll be a guest on season two, and I'm so excited to speak to her about this. But what I took from that conversation was, well, maybe coaching isn't as good as we think it is, and maybe it's actually embedding and reinforcing unhelpful actions or beliefs or attitudes. And so for me, where I'm most interested right now, what I'm thinking about a lot is coaching becoming untethered from its conscience, as I mentioned, from its ethics. And what I really hope is that coaching continues to look inwards and ask hard questions of itself, difficult questions of itself, challenging questions of itself, and really ensures that what we're doing is sort of ethically sound, and that we are not doing harm, and we're not further embedding harmful beliefs or practices. So, you know, ethics is sometimes just a sort of footnote or a bolt-on to a lot of coaches, and it's sort of, oh, I'm going for reaccreditation, let me dust off my ethics. And I can't help but think and feel and maybe encourage coaching to, and I'm talking about accrediting bodies and the forces that influence coaching. I can't help encourage us to ask those hard questions of ourselves. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do here in some ways with the podcast, is just hold a space where people can say, actually, I think coaching is bad and it's on its way out, and, you know, the industry's oversaturated. And to hear really provocative and thoughtful and challenging views around the future of coaching is, I think, very coach-like. And so, yeah, I that's just there for me at the moment, Rob. You know, something I'm thinking about a lot at the moment is that you have something like mindfulness techniques, and that's become a hugely popular thing. It's, you know, what was a spiritual practice from, I think, Taoist and Buddhist and even Hindu spirituality, it's now being used to make snipers in the US military kill people more effectively. And when was that? When did that happen? And why does that feel weird? And my danger or my thoughts or my concern is that there are danger that coaching simply drifts away from its conscience and its ethics, and that we don't continue to just coach because we like it, even if it's ultimately unhelpful for the person opposite us or the team or the business or the society or the wider stakeholders. I think that's a pretty interesting edge of coaching to
absolutely
hang out at.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned a podcast there a moment ago, and I love this idea of coaching challenging itself. So I'm sure you'll put a link to that podcast in your own show notes. So I invite our listener today to go and have a look at those and find that episode so they can, if they're interested, contextualize this a little bit more, this conversation today. I've got a few more questions that I'd like to ask you as we begin to wrap up here, George. I guess I want to begin here. What's the question I could have asked you today that I didn't ask that you would have liked me to ask you based on our conversation that we've had?
You know, I don't know that there is, Rob. I purposely came in true to the style of me as a host without any pre-planned answers or questions. This has been totally, totally emergent. Nothing is there for me. There is a kernel of something which is. Occasionally I'll hear from people saying, oh, I'd love to set up a podcast too. How did you do it? And there's maybe a question about others that might want to set up podcasts or do something similar or to do something that feels interesting and maybe a bit edgy for them, whether they're a coach or not. So something around what advice would I give to someone who wants to set up a coaching podcast is floating around my consciousness.
Yeah, I think so. If I were to ask you that question, then I'd love to hear your answer because that will set me up very neatly for my next question, which you don't know is coming too. So what guidance would you give? I think that's a great question, actually, George. I mean, what have you learnt about, you know, the process of setting up a podcast as a coach? And what advice would you give to someone thinking of doing or following in your footsteps in that sense?
So to your point earlier, there's a beautiful circularity here. I also agree that the podcast format is very conducive to and very similar to coaching and a coaching conversation. It's about thoughtfulness and insight. And I love the idea that some people will find the pace so slow that they'll put us on 1.5 speed or even two times speed. I love the idea that this conversation is happening at two speed. Coaching is one of the cool things about being in this world is that it is almost exclusively populated by very kind, nice people who love to help. And I bristle against the idea of a self-made person because I don't think anyone can truly be a self-made person. And I don't take too much credit for this thing that I'm doing, I've created, because you and the team at the AC and people who have been very influential to me on my coaching journey, they all deserve kudos and shout outs. So I would say go for it. It's a fun experience, whether it's writing a book or setting up a course or setting up a podcast or starting a YouTube channel. I would just send emails, metaphorically knock on doors and say, hello, this is what I'm about. You know, can I work with you or can I contribute something or can I help with what you're doing? And people have been incredibly kind and gracious and generous. And this was a seed of an idea and it's blossoming and blooming, to link back to the metaphor earlier. And I imagine whoever's listening, whatever you're thinking about doing or chewing it over, maybe take it to a coaching session and work it through with a coach, or take it to your peer group, your peer supervision group, or your peers, and discuss it with them, and knock on metaphorical doors, make it happen, and enjoy the unfolding journey would be my advice.
Great guidance there, George. I love that. With that in mind, then, just reflecting on that recent journey of yours from idea to something that's now tangible and out there in reality, your podcast, have you had any sense of the ripple effect that it's had? I appreciate that it's really hard to measure, let alone get a sense of the ripple effect. And I think it's just something I have great faith in every day with the work that I do in podcasting and with coaching. But I'm just curious, from your point of view, I know occasionally we get glimpses and we just go, gosh, I had no idea that my podcast was going to cause that or create that. I just wondered if there's something that's landed in your inbox or in your awareness that you know has been a direct result of your podcast being out there in the world that motivates you to keep going with it.
I'm really connecting with that last a part of what you're saying there, because you know, a coach sitting opposite a client, there is feedback constantly, whether online or in person. There's constantly billions of bits of data, non-verbal, verbal, facial expressions, tone, breath. We're constantly in relation with each other. And that feedback in the moment is crucial to us as a coach. Feedback after the session is crucial to us as a coach. So yes, the feedback that I've received has been crucial to me continuing. And I have received so many cool and very, very, very touching messages from listeners. And what I really appreciate is that there is, I sort of bristle against the idea of having a niche. And I'll say more about this in another platform sometime. But I think find your niche can be a very harmful piece of advice that is proffered around the coaching world, particularly to new coaches. And it has its benefits, but I think it's often potentially doing more harm than good. And I haven't purposely carved out my ideal listener. I don't know. And what's cool is that there are people who are before the journey of their coaching listening to this. And there are people who are in their coach training listening to this. And there are people that have been coaching since I was a teenager listening to this, and everyone in between. And there are many ideas, many theories, and many pieces of advice, and many challenges, and many hopes and visions shared here. And yeah, to hear the feedback, whether it's email or face-to-face sometimes, or LinkedIn as well, it's incredibly touching. And I love the fact that something that a guest and I have discussed has in some way, maybe by just one degree, changed the course of someone's coaching journey. And especially if that encourages a more thoughtful, slowing down, reflective consideration of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and why we're doing it. Coaching and really adult learning is at its best when we slow down, we reflect, and we make sense of it, and we ask questions of ourselves, and we reflect. And what I hope is that this space, the pace of the conversations, the length, it is all conducive to us slowing down and reflecting and thinking about our own practice and our own journeys, and potentially you're not deciding to make tiny little course corrections that will have huge impacts on the journeys. So if you are listening, if you've been enjoying this, I love the feedback. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great, George. Nice little pebble drop into the pond there. inviting the listener, our listener today, to drop you a note if you're listening to this right now. I'm sure you'd share, or if you wish to share that with me, George, you will. And actually to drop my own pebble into that pond as well. If you're enjoying this conversation, I urge you to go and have a listen to George being interviewed by Simone Sweeney on the Association for Coaching podcast, which was an episode I really enjoyed listening to about George. He sort of opens up and shares more of his journey as a coach. Actually, I think today we've had a podcast bias being on your podcast, but I think that particular conversation about some of the guidance I think you gave to coaches there, I would say it applies to those experienced as well as those getting started, which is what that particular series, you opened that series up with that conversation, was about. That was one I particularly enjoyed and really enjoyed listening to, and still point a lot of people towards it today. So if you're listening to this and you haven't heard that, I urge you to go and have a listen to George over there. So with these various sort of pebbles in the ponds, I've got two questions I want to ask you. Actually, no, three questions. I'm just going to be a little bit greedy with the short amount of time we've got left here. Based on the ripple effect there, I want to ask you where folks can find out more, or where can people connect with you? So we've invited them to connect with you, George, but where can they connect with you? Would probably be a good question at this point.
Well, thank you, Rob. Before I answer that, let me take my bucket of pebbles and chuck it into the pond as well. So a big thank you and shout out to you. And for everyone listening, I strongly recommend and endorse Rob's work as a coach himself, as a podcaster, as an author, and as an audio producer. And I recommend saying hello and checking out his again, thoughtful and very helpful work that he puts out into the world. So, Rob, thank you so much to you, and all the work that you've done, and all of the help and support that you've given me. And there is no one I would have. I asked one person to do this, and I'm delighted that you said yes to it. So, thank you so much.
Thanks, George.
So I am relatively easy to find. There should be an email address somewhere in the show notes, and I'm relatively active on LinkedIn. I post about once a week, twice a week, and contribute a monthly article for coaches on my Edge of Coaching Substack, and an article for everyone on my Slowing Down Substack as well. And say hello, get in touch, and let me know what you're finding helpful. Let me know anything that you are still wondering or any questions you're holding.
Brilliant. Thanks, George. And just off the back of that, what's next for you? You gave us a little insight earlier as to perhaps where you might take things in terms of your coaching, but I'm curious what else you've got cooking.
So cooking, this is a terrible metaphor. I have two very young kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old, and I am increasingly wanting to be more present with them and enjoy my time with them. So I'm sort of designing my life and my career around writing more. So hopefully 2025, I will put a book out into the world related to a lot of what we've spoken about today. And the Edge of Coaching is also becoming a community as well, a community space where I'll host regular conversations and community calls and offerings to help coaches navigate your own journeys and bring to life some of these questions through dialogue. And a lot of my work is doing the coaching, is supervising and mentor coaching other coaches and providing some support in that way. And then I teach it part-time as well. And then I talk about it and write about it. So there's a nice sort of diamond effect. And if any of that is of interest to you as a listener, again, drop me an email. And stay tuned for... So I will continue doing this. The feedback, the journey has been so beautiful that season two is greenlit by me and is already being recorded with, I think, 5 or 6 really, really cool conversations already in the can. And I'll take a bit of time to take stock and do some reading. I haven't read, I think it's New Fatherhood, Rob, plus podcasting. It means my book reading is chronically in need of some TLC. So I'll be doing a lot of book reading this year and a lot of writing.
That's lovely, George. And I'm going to use this as an opportunity to ask a question that I used to ask on my own podcast that I haven't asked for a long time, but you've inspired me today to ask it, which is, what's inspired you recently?
So this might seem a bit too snug a fit, but I am, I mean, I'm really inspired by the conversations that have formed this series and the conversations I hear from other podcasts as well, such as the AC podcast, such as Coaching Uncaged, Coaches Rising. I find every conversation is different and provides different angles and insights. And it really affirms me that there is no one right way to coach. And everyone coaches in a slightly different way. And yet there are things that connect and themes that bind us. So I feel greatly inspired every time I coach someone. Every time I work with a coach and every time I listen to a coaching conversation. And I feel really grateful for that question, Rob. It is an inspiring question and it's helped me connect with a sense of gratitude and wonder and awe for this amazingly profound and I think privileged work that we get to do as coaches.
That's lovely, George. I think a perfect place to park our conversation today. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to interview you on your own platform and just enjoy a wonderful conversation with you to get to know you a little bit better live in our conversation today. So well done, George. I don't underestimate, you know, I know only too well how much effort and work goes into putting a podcast together. And I commend you on 20 episodes so far. I do hope you keep going. I really enjoy listening to it. And I'm not just saying that. I know others do too. And you just need to read some of the comments on LinkedIn as part of that ripple effect, I think, as hard evidence there. That I'm not just making that up. So well done, George. And thanks for a wonderful conversation today from my point of view too.
Thank you, Rob. I'm full of gratitude and it's been a beautiful experience speaking with you. I wouldn't have it any other way.
And that is a wrap for today, folks. And for the first series, a big, big thanks to Rob for being such an excellent host today. Thanks to all the guests who have made this series such a thoughtful and thought-provoking set of conversations. To hear updates, news, and for some bonus content before Series 2, make sure you stay subscribed here and follow our LinkedIn page as well. Your feedback, reflections, ideas, and suggestions are so valuable, so please feel most welcome to message me or send me an email. And lastly, thanks to you for joining us for all these wonderful conversations from the edge of coaching.